Bears.
Wow, I think we're red banning this.
We are.
Yeah. We're recording that thing, that fan film thing, with the cursing and the boobies and the meth.
And the blood, all the
meth.
Blood.
Dude,
and
you
the
don't
gun!
Know. Do you know what meth looks like?
Yes.
I don't know, man.
That was cocaine, you idiot.
No, you moron. Bulk was taking meth.
Oh.
Yeah, they straight up say the Machine Empire has better meth.
Oh. I wasn't paying attention because I fucking hated this, and then I fucking loved it. I'll explain why at the end.
I think I know why, too, because it's the same reason.
Yeah, I'm really of two minds about this, so let's I guess go through a plot real quick. I didn't take full notes on this, so this is just going to be a brief summary rather than kind of our point by point that we usually do.
Who the hell got a message on Steam?
Who what?
Who got a message on Steam?
Oh, I messaged Logan and the bloop was loud enough to come through on my feed.
Okay, so. I was very confused for a second there.
Yeah, no. Anywho. So this won't be our normal point by point plot summary.
I can handle
because,
it.
Nah, I got this. I got this. I was the one that demanded we do this tonight. I got this.
Fine.
So we open with we get some like battle flashbacks at first, but the main point of the story here is Kimberly is being interrogated by Rocky, and the whole premise is basically the world's gone to shit. The Machine Empire has taken over. Because there was some kind of truce, but then the Machine Empire, you know, graciously shared all their technology and then kind of, you know, turned the world into a shit show. Whatever. And we basically get this whole montage that, it actually kind of reminds me of Watchmen when Ozymandias is going through and just basically trying to kill all of the other guys and whatnot. And it's just all of the other Rangers have gotten, you know, killed or have died and some kind of, you know, mysterious circumstances. And, you know, we find out that Kimberly and Jason got married, and then he got brutally murdered by Bulk and Skull, like, 15 minutes after the wedding. And, you know, Billy killed himself. Zach kind of became a mercenary, kind of selling himself out to the highest bidder after his deep shame over making hip-hop keto tapes. And, we get a cool fight scene with him taking on, was it like North Korea or something?
Oh yeah.
And then we cut back to his place where he's been getting it on with Scorpina and Divatox, and get shot from off screen, and so on and so forth. Just everyone is dead. It's horrible, and Rocky is trying to figure out where Tommy is, and then the first big reveal happens. They're not holding Kimberly to try to find out where Tommy is. They're holding her because they know Tommy will come to try to save her. And so he shows up and he and Rocky fight. Kimberly gets free and gets a gun and shoots Rocky in the head. And then the second big reveal happens. Kimberly's been dead for years, and it's actually Rita in a Kimberly disguise who has been going around killing all of the Rangers. And we cut to black as the two start to fight.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Very bare bones. Now, this is very different from anything else we've done because, well, we could talk about the people involved in this quite extensively. For example, Rocky is played by James Vanderbeek from Dawson's Creek.
I didn't even recognize him. I'm not a Dawson's Creek fan.
I mean, the show's been off the air for like over a decade now.
Yeah. And then Kimberly is
Katie Sackhoff.
Oh, thank you. I completely blanked on her first name.
Yeah.
Who played Rita?
I can't remember her name, but
Carla Perez.
Thank you. But Katie
Sackhoff sounds familiar.
Yeah. Google it, Jason, while I say, hey, Katie Sackhoff, you might recognize her as Starbuck from Battlestar Galactica.
But Carla Perez was actually Rita in season 2 through In Space.
That's
oh my god!
Yeah, they actually got American Rita.
Yeah.
That's the best.
Yeah.
And
I love the ending even more now.
Yeah, they give her a really stupid hat.
Yeah, it looks like the Maleficent hat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
hold on, I still got more names here because our director and producer are also very famous. This was directed by Joseph Kahn, who directed the movie Torque, if anyone remembers that. A really goofy, off-the-wall motorcycle movie. I enjoyed it because it's goofy and off-the-wall. He also directed Detention in, I believe, 2010, which was had some nice reviews to it. I haven't seen it yet. It's on Netflix. Maybe I should. He also has directed a bajillion music videos. The most recent one is Blank Space by Taylor Swift. It's a really great music video. The man knows his stuff. The producer is... I can't remember his name. Adi Shankar, who produced Dread, The Grey, and a couple other awesome fan films, including Punisher, Dirty Laundry, and the Venom
now
one.
Now I understand why this reminded me of Dread.
Yes. From the same producer.
Oh, especially the Ranger suits in this.
Oh, yeah.
They took a lot of visual cues from Dread as far as the Ranger suits go.
Yeah, definitely. So, as I mentioned at the top of this episode, I really fucking hate this. This is the fucking worst.
I'm of two minds on it. I can appreciate that they had this concept of, hey, let's take Power Rangers and just go full goddamn grimdark with it.
Yeah, to satirical levels.
Yeah, right. and I was okay with that in concept. There are a couple of particular things that kind of killed it for me.
Was it Zach snorting cocaine?
No, that actually, I wasn't, like, that bothered by it. Honestly, the big thing was Bulk and Skull.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, yeah, they took everything and just amped it to 11 on the crazy, you know, adult scale. But I just, I really like them exploring, like, what happens if you give these young teenagers, you know, phenomenal power and turn them into soldiers. And I could have gone with, you know, those even just associated with them got kind of fucked up by comparison, like by association. But having them just be straight up like murderous thugs just really didn't sit right with me. Like the timeline point of divergence here is during Zeo, so we didn't get all the way down into, you know, them becoming full good guys and in space, but just it doesn't feel at all true to their character. Like even nothing here is true to character, but you can just kind of see where it all came from.
There's also some really interesting plot holes here.
Go ahead.
Okay, so Rocky at one point mentions that Tommy loses his powers, regains his powers, then loses them again or something, then regained them again. So I guess, you know, Tommy went from green MMPR, white, or green, white, and then red.
Yeah, I think he was, it was, you know, was green, lost green, got green back.
Yeah.
And then,
lost it again.
I think.
And then, got the White Ranger powers. Here's the only problem I have with that. Kimberly died when he was still the Green Ranger. How long has Rita been posing as Kimberly? And how the hell does Rocky not know this? Rocky or Jason? Did Tommy never go, hey, guys? Because presumably she died in the past when he was the Green Ranger and they were all working as a team still. So did Tommy just go like, oh, yeah, hey, guys, Kimberly died. I buried her over there underneath some rocks.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it's Kimberly. Let's not question this.
Yeah. Well, on the other hand, how many times have the Green Ranger powers just kind of shown up again for various reasons? So, you know, going into the future a little bit.
Yeah.
We're going to see that Green Ranger suit again in Dino Thunder and Super Mega Force.
Okay, let's be fair. We don't actually see it again in Dino Thunder.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, but again, I'm totally willing to just write this off as they either didn't have the, you know, budget to make in a superfluous suit, or they just didn't really, you know, think it through, because this is just a one-and-done fan film. You know, what if we did this really ludicrous concept to the letter?
Actually, you say they didn't have enough money or anything, but I went ahead and tracked down an interview with director Joseph Kahn. He said that, yes, this was made on the cheap, but he pulled in a lot of favors, even though he does not like doing that. That's why we have fucking James Vanderbeek and Katie Sackhoff and the fucking explosions out the wazoo. I mean, this is professionally done. As much as I hate it, I cannot criticize how it looks. It's beautiful.
No.
Yeah, the writing, this is really well done.
Honestly, the only thing that fails this is the writing, and I cannot be sure how much of that is intentional.
Yeah, because this...
Yeah.
And it's kind of a well-documented fact that this guy just absolutely hates fan films.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just kind of amusing that, you know, now there's a Power Rangers fan film.
You know what?
The whole thing is just is full satire.
You know why I think he made this?
Hmm.
Okay, there is another Power Rangers fan series being made. Though I'm pretty sure they're going to think twice about it now, since this got the cease and desist. And it's got this same sort of super grimdark thing where, Bill, like, the old Rangers are either dead or gone, and, you know, it's new Rangers, and the government's against them and all that nonsense. But it's not self-aware like this seems to be.
Yeah, I was going to save this for later, but I might as well just say it now. Like I said, I checked out a really great interview on HitFix.com with Drew McWeeny. That's a funny name. But, yeah, this is 100% parody. Joseph Kahn doesn't even like Power Rangers.
Well, I think he says he hasn't even seen any of it. He just kind of knows the concept.
Yeah.
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 Which is very obvious when you consider the fact that they replaced the Rangers' energy weapons with just guns and stuff like that. And who the hell was piloting the Megazord in the opening shots? I know it doesn't. That's part of the fun thing. But it's like this is made as an answer to the really crappy... Well, not crappy, because I haven't seen it personally, but the more lazily done fan films.
No, it's not.
Oh.
This is a direct attack on Hollywood, according to the director. He's pretty much said he tired of all these dark and gritty reboots. You know how, like, even Batman, which is kind of adult, goes full-on crazy dark and gritty with, like, the Nolan films? He was like, yeah, I'm fucking tired of this shit. So he did this, went up to, like, the R-rated extreme, you know, crazy mode. And he's like, this, is, of course, is never going to be made in Hollywood, and you can see why, and I just did it for a laugh. Like, look at this. It's fucking terrible. It's stupid. And you know what? There's going to be nerds on the internet thinking this is straight-laced as all hell, and just jerking it off to it. Just,
see, you can do a satire and also do a straight story, more or less. Like, RoboCop is a unicorn of a movie.
Absolutely.
Because it is both a serious superhero story, basically, you know, revenge and everything, while also straight up being satire of the 80s in every single frame. But...
Yeah. Who was the director
Paul
of that
Verhoeven.
Again? It's on the... Paul Verhoeven. Dude was a genius,
yes.
All right?
It was. But yeah. So, this is not that. This does not try to be that. That's why all this, you know, all the Rangers get killed and everything in such awful, dumb ways. Because That's part of the satire, and it's not really pleasant, but you know, whatever. I will say, however, as a concept, I adore the ending for one reason. You have Tommy versus the Machine Empire versus Rita. I want to see that happen.
And this is where we get to the scary part of the conversation, because this is pretty much holding up a mirror at Lionsgate at the moment. They want to release that big budget film for July of next year. How close is it going to be to this?
Hello.
Not close at all.
What is it?
Like, you say it's not going to be that close, but you what know now? They're going to try to do PG-13, oh. Heavy action movie, special effects and stuff. There's not going to be, you know, titties or cocaine exactly. or anything like that.
I don't. Fuck bombs. I don't even think it's going to go for, like, you know, the quote tactical realism unquote that say like the Nolan Batman films went for. I honestly think that the actual film is going to have a tone similar to that of something like, say, Pacific Rim or maybe Guardians of the Galaxy, where, you know, it is not for little children, but it is not, you know, adult, and it's just going to be an action-y kind of romp type thing.
Yeah, I think they're going to be good for middle school.
Yeah, the thing that this fan film intentionally left
Make
out
tomorrow,
is, you know, to amp up the dark and gritty shit, was it lacked every single charm that the original show had. Because look at the first season, it's so fucking goofy, you know.
I
fucking love it.
Yeah, but it's like
I need to go.
A couple of things here in this fan film that just kind of really took me out of it. And you know, again, you know, we've discussed that this is not supposed to be actually emulating the series, but like the Rangers are using what look like modern like assault rifles.
Yeah,
and you know, I'm fine with them having, you know, slightly more realistic weaponry than laser guns,
uh-huh.
And they do reference the blade blasters in the scene with Billy, but you know, just straight up handing them assault rifles just doesn't feel right. Like do something where it's like it's still like a laser rifle, uh-huh. But just make it very clear that it's killing people, like what they did in Iron Man 3. Iron Man 3 is the first time you see him use, like, the repulsor thing against just a fleshy dude that isn't wearing some kind of mech suit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he uses the little missile things in Iron Man 1, but in that fight where he has just, like, the glove and the boot.
Yeah.
And he's just, like, he has a gun in one hand, the repulsor in the other, and it's just clearly demonstrating, yeah, these things are killing people.
Yeah.
Do something like that for this fan film, where it's, like, it's you know, a futuristic space rifle, but have him just, like, you know, blast some dude in the face with it.
You know what would really make it work, too?
Hmm.
Having shoot someone with it shoots a little laser out, so you think, okay, it's not, you know, it's going to be like a dumb sci-fi laser. And then the guy set on fire like he got hit with napalm.
Oh, man. Yeah, that would fit the over-the-top theme. Kind of like when you put a phaser on max power, it just, like, straight up disintegrates people.
Yeah.
See, again, Khan has already addressed this in his interview. He's does not like the PG-13 gritty reboot show. But I mean, he does like it, specifically mentioning guns and everything.
Yeah.
Like how you shoot them is just a puff of smoke and everything.
Yeah. What we're suggesting
like
would be for
gun.
Something that's supposed to be more straight faced.
Yeah, I would just say split the difference between the two. You know?
Yeah.
Have it, you know, straight up kill people with blood splatter. But have it be just a hair more Ranger like.
Yeah.
Because I'm basically doing that thing that I do where I, you know, rearrange things in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
But you could make this into something a little less mean-spirited.
Yeah.
Just by doing that and taking out the Vulcan Skull bit.
Yeah, you honestly really could. And like I said, the ending concept is interesting just because you have three factions going on. So you could very easily have it that Tom is gathering the old Rangers that are still alive. Presumably Aisha and
Adam.
Adam are still around somewhere.
I'm really intrigued by the lack of mention of those two. Because they go into kind of specifically, hey, here's Rocky, who, you know, replaced Jason on the team and, you know, always felt like a second rater, and that's why he, you know, sells out and et cetera, et cetera. I like his robot leg, by the way.
So they
obviously put enough thought into this to, you know, bring that little tidbit up.
I honestly,
but not to mention the other two of the Stone Canyon crew.
I honestly thought they were going to make Adam out to be the Korean leader.
Yeah, I thought that's what they were going for, and then it wasn't at all. Yeah. Like, I checked the credits, and it is not Adam.
Yeah. So, yeah, you could have Tommy and, you know, what's left of the Rangers, or even make it so that the other Rangers don't actually die. They just get, like, severely injured or whatever. Rita's using magic and all her nonsense. And the Machine Empire is the dominant force right now. That could be interesting. It's just that, as it is, it's just a mean-spirited, kind of ugly joke. Which, to be fair, that's what it's meant to be. Because that's what he sees modern Hollywood movies as.
So it's like...
And he's fucking right, because you two marks are eating this shit up!
No, I have you been listening to everything we've been saying? Like, I'm looking at this...
For the last, like, 3 minutes, you're like, oh man, this could really work if they just toned it down a little bit.
Well, I'm not saying tone it down, I'm just saying just by making a couple of small changes... And kind of bring it more in line with what the actual show was. It could be. No, and I recognize that that's not what this is trying to do.
Yeah, and I'm just saying that the idea.
I'm not saying that's not what it's trying to do. I'm still saying that even if this was like you guys trying to like tone it down, make it more in your line, it's still garbage. It looks great. The choreography is great. Acting's great, but it's still. Pretty awful. I hate the costumes. I hate all of it.
Wade.
What?
First off, we agree about that. Second, get off your high horse, because if you cannot agree that the concept at the very end of Rita fighting a secret magic war against the Machine Empire while also wiping out the Rangers... And Tommy trying to fight back against the Machine Empire and now Rita, that has potential as an idea.
Just that. That's
well, I just actually that. Still like the concept the whole thing like from the beginning. Like
yes.
just the idea of exploring slightly more realistic consequences of what happens. When you take these, you know, kids, these, you know, young teenagers with attitude and turn them into, you know, soldiers.
Yes.
Like that's really fascinating to me. And I know that that's something that the show is never, ever, ever going to address.
No.
And that's fine. And that's not what it's meant to do. But as a thought experiment, that's really something interesting to think about.
No.
And that's kind of what this fan film is it's a thought experiment writ into a 15-minute short. And if you don't want to consider the potential ramifications, that's fine. You know, you can still enjoy it at the face value of the entertainment, but it's an interesting thing to think about. It's no different than sitting around and just speculating about anything else, really.
Nah, not buying it.
Well, what is inherently so abhorrent to you about just exploring that idea?
Oh, no. Whenever I think Power Rangers, I just think of good old goofy fun. Like, pretty much, even Khan agrees with me. The only part of this entire fan film that felt genuine was the hip-hop keto segment.
That was so amazing.
That was so amazing. That was the only part that felt like it had any heart in it. Everything else was just kind of... it was trying so hard to be
great. Here's the thing,
Wade.
Let's not talk about the fan film for a second. Let's just talk in general.
All right.
Wait. Thinking like that would have kept Batman doing the Bat-Tootsie even nowadays.
That would be great.
No, it wouldn't be. That would be limiting for the character and the brand.
Yeah, just think in general terms. Pretend this fan film doesn't exist. Just think in general terms. It's an interesting concept to think about. Where do these characters go from here? You know, the show gives one answer. They all go on to be just wonderful people going off to peace conferences and, you know, showing back up next year when the next team of Rangers needs some help. But it's just interesting to think of, you know, what could be like what happens when you're just kind of pulled out of high school every afternoon at 2:30 to go fight giant monsters and you can't tell anyone about it because the head in the tube said so. That's gotta fuck with your head a little bit.
And if I wanted to see that story, I wouldn't go to Power Rangers. There's the thing with the brand name. That's so
you're taking the same stance that Jason David Frank did. He actually put out a reaction video, basically just saying, "Yeah, hey, it's it's his thing." You know, they actually offered him a part in it.
As Tommy, or
they offered him the part of Tommy. Yeah.
Huh.
Lost my train of thought. They offered him the part of Tommy, but he didn't want to associate the actual brand with this fan film. And I can respect that. And Wade, I can respect your position of saying that's not what Power Rangers is. But the point I'm making is I think it's fun to think about what Power Rangers isn't.
See, also, you could do that stuff with related stories, and fuck, we have stories like that actually right now. You could just change, like, fucking real-life soldiers with fake soldiers and shit. That's pretty much what it is what you're saying.
No, 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 no. Here's the thing. A lot of people seem to think that if you try to make Power Rangers serious, oh, you have to lose all the fantastical crap. You have to just make it, like, straight sci-fi with human enemies and garbage. That is limiting and dumb. That is really garbage. You want to know what you need to do to make a serious, mature Power Rangers? Take Green with Evil. Let's just take Green with Evil, because that's about as basic as you're going to get. You could do that for a serious Power Rangers story. Make it so that Tommy is legitimately drawn to the dark side. The powers have a corrupting force, but he takes the first step. Then add in larger stakes. Just inflate things. Make Rita a little bit more believable as a villain. Have the Dragonzords rampage through the city, matter more, and have it hit home with how much damage Tommy did to the Rangers more. Add actual injuries to them. Like maybe Jason gets pretty badly injured fighting Goldar. There.
Or have Rocky lose a leg and replace it with a robot prosthesis.
This. There. There is serious Power Rangers. Lost Galaxy is about as close to actually serious mature Power Rangers as the show will get until Lightspeed Rescue, or rather Time Force. And you can see how it could work if you just pushed things a little bit further. And if it wasn't limited by being a children's show. You don't have to go grim, dark, space marine nonsense. If you do, you might as well call it something else. But the potential lies within the show itself. This is what I mean. This is why I think that this did it lazy. But then again, that was half of the point. The fan film did it in a lazy way because it was the easy way because they did not care about the source material. If you actually cared about the source material, you could very easily do something with it. Have the foot soldiers, the mooks, the putties, be living people that believe in whatever the villain organization is. Have them willingly fighting to the death. That's all you really need.
So yeah, I'll agree with that, but I'll take it in a slightly different direction, that I say that Power Rangers is already, at the season that we're currently at, feels like, you know, at times, an adult and mature show. Yes, they have goofy stuff, but hey, that goes along with it, and it's still very enjoyable.
Except they keep drawing back from a lot of the major themes. Like, with Leo, him versus Scorpius. Let's take that one. Him saying, you know, I don't want to do this, but that's a lie. They only added that because it's a kid's show. Leo wanted to murder the hell out of Scorpius. Because Scorpius is an awful person who does awful things.
Uh-huh.
But they keep drawing back because this is a kid's show. For a truly serious Power Rangers show, they don't need to flinch away from it. But they can show the heroes being heroic. It's just like with DC superheroes, if they were done correctly, or Marvel superheroes. You don't have to get rid of this silly stuff. You don't have to get rid of the fantastical aliens and crap. You just don't have to limit yourself with childish morality.
And it's like, I am by no means advocating that, you know, Power Rangers needs to start, you know, exploring these deep themes. I, like, the only thing I'm arguing for, if I'm arguing for anything at all, is that it's just an interesting concept to think about.
Yes.
You know, I would not want to see this fan film turned into, like a monthly series, like a Netflix thing. No, like, this is one and done, and it asks some questions, it raises some themes, and, you know, if I can invoke, you know, death of the author, the fact that this was made as, you know, a send-up to a thing that he hates, I don't think should detract any from the conversations that can be had about it.
That's right. I agree with that.
So, it's like, Wade, you don't like it, you think it's shit. I personally, like, when I first watched it, I put up, I think for the first time, I posted under my own name on our Facebook page, just because I wanted to just make it very clear that they were my thoughts and not anyone else's. But I really didn't know how I felt about it. You know, I've watched it a couple of times since, and I'm warming up to it, not in the sense of, oh man, I like this, I like the direction it's going, it's so cool. Because it's not cool. It is, honestly, kind of terrible.
Yeah.
But it serves as a conversation starter and just, like, a thought starter. And, yeah, you know, I appreciate and enjoy. I'll say I full-on enjoy, like, the Zack fight scene from just, like, a choreography standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like you, I'm really a big fan of just kind of the state of the world at the end. You know, with Rita and the Machine Empire and Tommy. And I like the state at the beginning is, you know, what would happen if, you know, there was some kind of truce that was worked out. But, oh, yeah, the Machine Empire is still, you know, evil as all shit. So, this is not a direction I want to see Power Rangers go in. I'd be very sad if the official film coming next year is anything like this at all.
Yeah.
But just as its own little thing, I really enjoy it, and there's a reason we're doing a bonus episode on it and have been talking for borderline half an hour.
When is this going to come out exactly? Is this going to come out after the Corona episodes?
I'm getting this up as soon as possible, and I'm just going to post it.
I'm not
going to. I'm just posting it directly to Something Awful.
Yeah, okay. I want this dumped soon while it's still topical, because I know there's a lot of places trying to take this down.
Yeah, then you can just cut all that out, Wade. Or my question on to here. No, I'm serious. I was going to bring up something related to the episode.
Fuck it, I'll put it up on Saturday then.
Well, how about this?
Cut it out. Cut out me asking about the Corona episodes.
No, if it's topical and relevant, I say go ahead and let's talk about it. Okay. We can drop a spoiler warning in the description and just say, hey, we wanted to release this now. It does spoil a couple episodes that are being posted later.
Okay. One of the biggest things that signifies Power Rangers as a kid show and what it could be as a more adult show is Carone in Lost Galaxy, because she has probably the most amount of sins. They touch on it a little bit with Tommy, but Caron has more sins than any of the other Rangers.
Yeah, she straight up murders people.
Yeah.
They kind of shy away from it on screen, but she does straight up kill people. She is the evil villain for a whole season.
Yeah.
And she has to atone for that.
Yeah, and they do it in a very kid-friendly way. They do it in a very quick way. That should have been a more redemptive arc than it was. What they did was fine, considering the amount of time they had, and the fact that getting Caron was, you know, not their first plan. Hell, losing Kendrix wasn't their first plan. But again, if they were allowed to go further with it, they could have done a lot more with her character through it.
Sorry.
That's fine. Something that Power Rangers, as it is right now, is never really going to be able to do satisfactory. And we're going to really touch on that come the Time Force, Wild Force crossover. Oh, boy.
I think Burke and I are mostly on the same page here, and Wade, you know, you're taking kind of a very negative stance on this.
Pretty much so, at this point in time, I'm fucking sick and tired of things being so serious in media. I just want some nice, goofy-ass fun.
Here's the problem with that, though, with Power Rangers. Sentai hasn't really been... Okay, Go Busters is the most serious Sentai's been in the last, what, decade?
Yeah.
And that still was silly as all hell, because...
See, that's the thing I want in life at this moment, is I want some more shit like Kyoryuger.
But that doesn't mean that these serious shows are bad.
Yeah, if that's not what you want and not what you want to watch, that's fine. Don't consume it. There is enough media out there for everyone.
Like, spoiler warning, I'm not a big fan of the super childish, silly stuff. I like myself to be a little bit more grounded.
Yeah, it's like there's a reason that you like Ultraman and Kamen Rider a little more than Sentai. Because while it's all goofy kids entertainment, those two skew a little darker.
Yes.
So, yeah, again, you know, I'm not saying this for everyone. You know, I'm not going to sit down, you know, a kid and watch an episode of Power Rangers and then put on this fan film. God, no. Like, even the censored YouTube version without the boobies. Just, I love how they got porn stars for that, by the way.
Yeah, why not?
Good chuckle out of that one. But I completely understand and respect that this is not the kind of media you want, because... Yeah, I love the ever-loving shit-fuck-god-damn out of Kyoryuger. Like, even now, a whole season later, after Tokyuger, I think Kyoryuger is just, like, my favorite. That ending bit where they're singing the Earth's Melody, which is the theme song for the fucking show? Yes, please. Yes, please. So, I love the goofy light stuff. And that's why I keep saying this is a fun thought experiment. This is something fun to sit down and think about. And it was an interesting diversion for 15 minutes. But I don't want Power Rangers to be like this all the time. I don't even want it to be like this, like, a decent percentage of the time. This 15 minutes was plenty, thank you.
Yes. And honestly, one reason why I think a lot of people are drawn to this idea is because we have... never really gotten this concept done with Sentai or Power Rangers. Because I think the closest we've gotten with Sentai is in the mid-80s to early 90s, Jetman being the last one.
Yeah.
And even then, you know, it's still kids' entertainment first and foremost.
Yeah.
And the only time Sentai has flirted with, you know, adult programming... was the two seasons of Akiba Ranger, which are not
full-on comedy. Yeah.
Yeah,
and this also kind of scratches a couple of itches that you don't see in a lot of media. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like exploring the concept of child or teen soldiers. You know, that's like actually a thing that's, mm-hmm. you know, needs to be looked into in some cases, but you know, you don't like, it never comes up. You know, there's so many, you know, okay, I'm just gonna look at my movie rack here. Okay, here we go. X-Men 3. It's, you know, if you look at it, it's, you know, very much an allegory for, say, homosexuality.
Yeah.
You got all that in there. So you've got media that's an allegory for so much stuff. What brings up the concept of how fucked up people can get just after being a soldier, or in this case specifically, a child soldier? Like, yeah, there's plenty of war movies that deal with, oh man, you know, look at, like, the trauma of coming back. Yeah. But, like, child soldiers in particular, the only media that is coming to mind is, like, Raiden's backstory from some of the Metal Gear games. And, you know, even then, it's, you know, it's played off as a serious problem, but it's, like, it's not given a whole lot of focus.
Yeah.
So, this kind of scratches that, like, that brings up, you know, it raises some questions. You can think about it. So, again, this is not what, this is not what I want out of Power Rangers. No. You know, if we started watching a season of Power Rangers and it was, you know, this, even a little bit, I'd be like, this is not a thing. But just springboarding off of Power Rangers and making this as a concept is really just interesting to think about. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that's just my stance on it. I completely understand why some people would absolutely detest this. I can also understand why some people are drawn to it, you know, and are taking it at face value. Like, yeah. There are some people out there that probably think that this is, you know, a trailer for the
the
movie. You know, because people are dumb.
Yeah, they are.
You know, it's like, you know, there are people that thought that the Spider-Man tease at the end of Days of Future Past, or no, it was the other way around. The X-Men tease at the end of Amazing Spider-Man 2 obviously meant that those two were crossing over when it was just, you know, a thing.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, directly about this, so, like, back in the summer, there was talks of, like, oh, a secret project with Katie. It's like, oh, what's it going to be? It turned out this, and people thought, oh, she's going to be Miss Marvel. Ha! Idiots. Yep.
So it's like, yeah, there are going to be people, you know, there are the kids, like, in middle school, high school right now that are really drawn to this, you know, so adult stuff. Yeah. And keep in mind, we're not that far removed from being dumb shithead, like, school kids.
We're dumb shithead adults.
Yeah, we're only a handful of years past the age group where we would have a serious chance of, like, taking this seriously.
Yep.
So.
And I do want to state my opinions on this specifically, because I've been speaking very broadly about the concept.
Yeah, go for it.
I hate this specifically, because it misses the point of Power Rangers, and that's the entire point of it. It's made by someone who hates Power Rangers or doesn't care for it. And is made as a parody, but as standalone, on its own, I hate the way this was done, because it was done in the most boring way possible. And the suit designs for the Rangers are just unappealing in any fashion.
The chests are cool, the helmets are dumb.
Yes. I like the fact that they look big and meaty, though I wish we could have seen the girls in action, because that would have solidified my thoughts more. Depending on how sexualized they were. If they weren't, then, you know, good on you. If they were,
Yeah, the closest you see is that one little shot of, like, the only time you really get to see Kimberly, like, fully suited is that scene she's kissing Tommy.
Yeah. And that's not a very good shot to judge anything on.
No.
So, I like the bodysuits. I don't like the helmets, and I don't like how the helmets work, but, you know, whatever. So, but I can respect the effects of it, and the writing, of course, has issues, but, you know, they probably didn't care that much for obvious reasons about the writing specifically. So, yeah, and that's it.
Yeah, good. We have talked about this for approximately three times as long as I thought we would.
Yep.
This, I'm just gonna throw this out there.
Blame Wade.
Well, I'm just going to throw this out there. I think this might be my favorite episode of Podcasters with Attitude I've had the pleasure of being on. Because it's most of the time it's just us sitting around, cracking wise, you know, talking about a kid's show. I think it was kind of fun to, you know, even just superficially touch on, you know, the nature of storytelling, you know, some serious real life issues. That this was a good conversation, and, you know, just so the listeners know, and Wade, you know, I harbor no, like, resentment to you for disagreeing with our stance so strenuously.
Nope.
So it's like this was all in the spirit of a good discussion, and I really enjoyed it, and I kind of want to do more of this type of thing.
I got to sound smart for a change.
I haven't got this fucking piss since Masked Rider.
Yeah, you kind of went full Burke there.
Yeah.
Piss some blood away, buddy. Luckily, I'm actually invested in the idea of Power Rangers done serious. Though, I will say, I would never... It's not how I would do Power Rangers. Like, if I got a hold of Power Rangers, honestly, the tone I'd shoot for is something like Lost Galaxy, but without as many restrictions.
Wade,
but yeah.
Wade, a quick final question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think you would feel more charitable to this if instead of billing itself as Power Rangers, it was just a similar thing?
If you would have called this...
I know. Captain Planet.
No, if you would have called this Time Cop 7, Time Cop Super Team, I would fucking love this movie.
Yeah, or even something, you know, just obviously a ripoff. Like, just say you just called it Teenagers with Attitude.
Yeah.
And, you know, redesigned the suit so they weren't obvious riffs on Power Rangers suits. And you know, taking away Rita, taking away the names... And it had just been an obvious send-up, but hadn't been using the name. Would you be more charitable towards this?
Yes, if this was just a big, dumb action movie that had elements of Power Rangers and, like, the team and everything, yeah, I'd fucking love this. But the fact that it has the Power Rangers name to it is the worst part about it.
I can agree with that.
Okay. Yeah, that's... Okay. I was just curious. So yeah, let's go ahead and wrap this. No idea what you dear listeners have listened to last or will be hearing next, because the release of this is going to be a little wonky. So thank you for listening to us ramble about this for way too fucking long. Thank you for letting us be red-banded for a bit so I can swear, because I like swearing. It's fun. And yeah, tell us what you thought of our discussion of the fan film itself. Hit us up on our social media, podcasterswithattitude@mail.com, facebook.com/podcasterswithattitude, @PWAshow on Twitter, and pwashow.wordpress.com is our website.
Yeah. Half that stuff is broken and doesn't update
anyways. Yeah, well, we will fix it. I have a guy that can help if you need it. We'll figure something out. And yeah, until next time. Last time, whatever time, let the power protect you, motherfuckers.
Bye!
Fuck.
I'm the only one who doesn't curse.